in 1 Peter, the first chapter, in verse 23, it says in the King James, being born again. Being born again. Not by corruptible seed. Well, anyway, there is some question as to the King James, whether it's the word actually, you know, being meaning in a continuing action. And I believe that that's probably the most accurate of any. We don't get that same picture out of some of the translations, but it does not say that. It just doesn't say it in the same way. And I'm under the impression, because of what has been happening to us and what I see in the scriptures, that we are born again and being born again and continue to be whatever it is, made into the image of Christ from glory to glory by an ongoing relationship with this word. And so it says, being born again, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the word of God, which has to be in an incorruptible state. Well, anyway, I was looking for something else, and I ran into this verse of scripture, and it's in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, or second chapter, in verse 17. And here's what it says. It says, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. We are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. We are not as many which corrupt the word of God. In other words, that was a common practice even back then. And to corrupt the word. I began to realize something. I could be in any direction this morning because a lot of things have happened early in the morning by the Spirit. I've come to the realization that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the lawyers and the scribes and the priests and whoever else are pretty much an ongoing state of or condition that people are in. And that today's church is not any different, basically, than the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the, you know what I mean? They're not any different. It's mankind left to himself without the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and that's kind of what I, you know, is going to end up in a mess. And so what we have today is something that was back in the Pharisees. We got the same condition. And the Pharisees, among other things, had this major belief. Kind of like a man I heard say one time, he says, you know, it's a good thing to know that you have the truth. And so the Pharisees were positive that what they believed was the truth. The Sadducees were convinced that what they believed was the truth. Now, they didn't agree with each other. But each group, and of course the scribes probably figured they were a little bit more the upper class because they were the ones that put the Bible, you know, kept translating, or not translating it, but kept copying it. And what we have today is the same thing. Each church organization is convinced that they have the truth. And so what we need is a revival. And which is going to happen when we get Trump in. I mean, this is a consensus by a lot of the church people. And where they got it from, I'm not sure. But anyway, so what we need is a big revival. Here's what the revival is going to do. I mean, depending on who you are. It's going to turn everybody into Catholic. Or it's going to turn everybody into Lutherans. Or it's going to turn everybody, you know what I'm saying? Do you know why? Because we're right. And so, it's bad. But I tell you what the bad part about this whole picture is. When you are convinced you're right, you don't have anything in you that allows you to be open to hearing the truth. Self-righteousness, are you following me? Self-righteousness prevents truth. Because you're not open to it. And that's why it says, you know, in 2 Thessalonians, it says, because they didn't receive a love for the truth, that they might be saved. See, there's a big problem that exists. And the problem is, people don't know how big God is, and they don't know how little they are. And we try to bring ourselves up to some level close to where God is, and God is beyond definition. He's beyond, his ways are past finding out. I mean, they're past finding out. You just can't find them out. They're past finding out. That's who God is. And so here we are, these little, you know, minds that live 70 or 80 years, and we got this thing inside of us that tells us that we got some kind of a handle on who God is and how God, whatever. Well, I tell you what, I'm glad that in this lifespan that somehow that God has opened or corrected this thing in me, so I realize that I'm a creation. I'm a creation. I was made by the hands of an unbelievable genius. How many churchgoers believe that? They don't stop and think. We don't stop and think. And so people can't, they can't go anywhere because their minds stop them. And so here's, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. Okay, let me read you one more. It's in 1 Corinthians. One more setting. And I thought about this, okay? I'm probably the smartest person I know. And you're probably the smartest person you know. It says, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The most foolish thing, anything that exists anywhere, is still wiser than anything that we have. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. And then here's a scripture that came to me one morning. You see your calling, brethren. Not many wise after the flesh are called. Not very many wise people after the flesh are called. They're not called. Not many mighty and not many noble are called. That kind of eliminates a lot of people, doesn't it? They're not wise. The wise, you know, not very many wise people, not very many mighty people, not very many noble people are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, I mean lower things, little things of the world, things which are despised has God chosen, and things which are not, things which don't even exist. God has chosen to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Isn't that nice to know that you got the truth? If you hear me say that, would somebody please stand up and rebuke me?
I will try not to.
Just to add to Keith's comment, I'm not the smartest person I know. I know there's one smarter than me. Also, I'm not the dumbest person I know either. I was reading the Bible this morning, and then my eyes got tired, so I had to kind of stop and just rest, and then some, these thoughts came into my mind, and I had to write them down because I know I wouldn't remember them. And I want to start out. Ain't it great to be in the family of God?
Yes.
You know, it's an awesome and incredible experience. Now, when I said I'm not the smartest person or the dumbest person I know, because I'm not. God's got a lot more knowledge that he's bringing to me to make me smarter than what I am now. And these are the words that came to my mind this morning, and I'm going to read it because if you believe Jesus is God, I ask you this. Can a woman give birth to a God? Can a man father a God? No. Jesus was born flesh and blood as you and I were born. Okay. If Jesus was born a God by a woman, then would that make us gods also? Because we are born a woman also. Jesus was not born of God, but fathered by the Spirit of God. Therefore, Jesus is the Son of God, as we are the son of our fathers. Amen. Flesh and blood cannot give birth to a God. Only flesh and blood can give birth to man. And like I say, I have to write this stuff down. I don't remember it, because 5 minutes from now, I probably wouldn't have remembered what I wrote. But if you came into my house and you looked at my chair, you'd see a conglomerate mess. Barb's back there laughing, but that's true. But I have to keep some of this stuff there handy, because when this stuff comes, I got to get it down. You know. But, you know, God is making us smarter and wiser. And I got to admit, I don't spend every day with God, but the tape is playing every day. But God doesn't, that doesn't mean God's forgotten me just because I don't pay attention to him for a day. You know. And when you get back to God, he gives you stuff like this that's really revealing. You know. So, I just got to thank him. I got a long way to go. But I'm not alone. We're a lot of us on that same path. And we're walking hand in hand to get there. God bless you.
I think I speak in my sleep. And Keith comes to my house at night, and he hears me speak. And he repeats what I say. I couldn't believe my ears this morning when Keith started speaking. Maybe, you know, I'll try to say what I have to say with different words at least, Keith. You know, can you imagine, seriously, how different the church world would be if all these guest speakers, evangelists or whatever you call them, there was no love offering taken for them? Think about that. Yeah. Jesus sent his disciples. He says, I will be afraid of going how Jesus said to go. He said, don't even take a sleeping bag. Don't take nothing. And they'll give you to eat, food to eat and something. My expectation my goal as a Christian, and when I say call myself a Christian, I'm stretching it, because the Bible says, you know, and this is when they call the disciples Christians, and after they've been doing all these things, those are the Christians. I'm calling myself a Christian because of lack of any other word, but in my Christian goal, I used to think, I want to, you know, be in a lot of people and a church, and and talk and whatever, and everybody excited. You know what? I do not want to be a part of a circus Because the church today is a circus.
Yes.
There's actors. There's people pretending to be excited. Really, they're pretending to be anointed. They're speaking not out of God's word. And if they say anything out of God's word, it's just like when the devil did to Jesus. I'm being super strong here, but that's just what I see, and I can't help it. I saw a little video. I never watch any Christian TV or listen to anything. But I saw this little video of this guy, and everybody was so excited, and I was so sick. So sick. I'm still sick just thinking about it. If I, a man, I'm sick with it. Can you imagine how sick God is? Or this ridiculous church stuff. Anyways, you know the Bible, the whole New Testament says nothing about the greater things of God involved in church. And in fact, in Revelation, of all the churches they talk about, he's angry at all of them, except for one, I think. And he says, yeah, you got to repent. Well, are they going to repent? He says, and they'll repent. Listen to my word. Are they going to listen? Are they going to repent? You know, I'm in church right now speaking, but I'm at the same time, I'm saying church is not where it's at. Jesus came. He says he was comfortable talking to the prostitutes and the tax collectors because they repented and believed. Jesus says the chief priests and all of them guys are gonna come over me and crucify. That's the church, like Jesus was saying. The Pharisees is the same exact right now, or worse. You know what? Worse. It's I lost my train of thought, but the church wants nothing to do with the truth, nothing to do with the truth, and because they know they're right, but they know they're right, and also they are men seeking the praises of man. And in order to be praised by man, you have to agree with each other in their stupidity. Because it's stupid. It's stupid. Now, but if those people, instead of going after man, if the same people that they think they're right, if they only took God's word, God will turn them around.
Yes.
But you need to, if you can take that man praising man thing away from you, you got a chance. You do have a chance. And my goal, I don't wanna stand and say anything to anybody. And Pablo, you know what? I wanna be a lonely man. Finding a prostitute sick with meth and scars all over the place, and telling them about the Lord, and she will rejoice. You know what I mean? And I will move on to a drunk, and nobody will ever know my name. But everybody wants their name heard. They want their love offerings. And their fancy suits. And this is what Jesus was saying. No? They make the fancy, they dress fancy, and they want everybody to see them. And nothing's changed. Nothing. Nothing. So anyways, I don't have any closing statement, Corey.
Well,
I'm in total agreement with what Pablo said. I feel the same way. I could feel his spirit when he was saying that. And it reminded me of a passage. I think I brought this up before, but it was in one of Rick Joyner's books that I read like 20 or 30 years ago. And it was a vision that he had. He had several visions in this book, but one of them, He was dressed in this ugly, holy, it kind of looked almost as bad as my sweatshirt, you know. It was a cloak, and it was just stained, and it stunk, and it was ripped and torn, and it made him look real shabby and poor and real bad, you know. And he was walking, I don't know where he was in heaven, he was in the spirit with this cloak thing on, and there was a line of angels, these big, powerful angels that he was walking down, you know, like the aisle or whatever. And as he came walking, these angels were bowing down before him, you know. And there was an angel that was walking with him that was kind of like his guide, his tour guide to heaven or whatever. I can't remember the vision. I can't remember the name of the book. But anyway, he was mystified, you know, because he's like, are these guys bowing to me or are they bowing to you, you know? And he says, no, they're bowing to you. And he said, well, why? I mean, I'm wearing this ugly rag, you know. I mean, this is terrible. What, you know, why are they bowing to me? Because, and then the angel said, well, he gave him the explanation. He said, because you're wearing the cloak of humility, you know. You willingly accepted this thing, and to them, that's a sign of great honor and power and glory. And it's not your glory, it's the glory of God. You're wearing it because you accepted it. And, that just blew me away. And, I could feel that. I could feel that same feeling that I felt when I read that in the book when Pablo was talking about that. Because it's the truth. It really is, you know. I just want to give a personal testimony about this last week. I got me a job, finally. and, you know, I want to testify about, not about getting a job. I mean, that's great and stuff. But what's going on inside of me, you know. This is different. I mean, I am really, really changed. I don't cease to be amazed at God's miracles inside of me, what He's doing in my heart, how He's changing me, and how I'm being transformed. You know, I mean, it just goes on and on, and I'm going higher and higher, it seems like, or deeper and deeper, or whatever, you know, whichever direction you want to say. But normally, you know, I mean, when I'm backs up against the wall, my rent is due again, you know, and I don't have anything to give them, and I'm running out of food, and there's not too many prospects going on, and, you know, my bike's on the verge of breaking down, and, you know, my body isn't doing much better. I'm starting to get carpal tunnel again in my left arm or whatever. And I got all these physical, material, natural strikes against me, you know, these things are kind of arrayed against me. And, you know, and I'm sitting there listening to the Word of God, and these things, you think about stuff, you know, and you wonder, what am I going to do? You know, how's it going to turn out? Where am I going to end up? You know, and there's that uncertain feeling. And when I used to get my back up against the wall like that, you know, I would start to get desperate, you know, and I'd start to freak out, and I'd start to, my mind would just start going 100 zillion miles an hour. What can I do? What can I do? And I'd come up with this, and I'd come up with that, you know, and I'd be grasping at straws, and I'd get all, you know, insecure and just dumb, you know. And it's not like that anymore, you know. It's just not like that anymore. I almost feel like thumbing my nose at the devil, you know. I mean, really. He's trying to get to me, and it's like there's nothing to get to. And that's kind of freaky in a way, because I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to the Word of God, and I hear stuff like, you know, you seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you, you know. You make this a priority, and you listen to me, I'm going to take care of you. And I actually believe it. I mean, I believe it way down in my heart such that I'm not insecure by all these weird things that are coming at me in the natural and the material. You know, I was one this last week. I was, sitting there. I had to go down to Jobs Plus on my bike, which is like a 10-mile bike ride, and it was cold and it was against the wind. And you know, when I got done, you know, I was kind of, it didn't seem like I got anywhere really. And I get home, you know, and there's a whole bunch of food, you know. And by the way, Corky and Susan, that lasagna was delicious. I got to get the recipe from you. If you can write it down for me, please do. But it was great, you know. And I didn't have nothing to eat before that. I mean, I had some stuff, you know, and I was thinking about cobbling together some crumbs or whatever and having a lunch. And I get there, and there's this food, and I'm like, wow, this is great. So I'm listening to the Word of God, you know, and I'm going, and I'm still not any farther ahead in the natural. There's no prospects. There's nobody that really wants me. Nobody said yes to me. I got 20 more miles of wear on my bike and on my body, you know, and I don't know what I'm going to do next. And I'm, you know, I think that the Lord has allowed these things to keep coming at me so that I can see how He's transformed me inside. You know, he wants to show me, you know, this stuff can't get to you anymore because there's nothing more to get to. It's like he said, you know, the prince of this world comes and he's got nothing in me. Well, he's still got stuff in me, but it's not as much. It's really not as much. And it's a miracle to me. It's an inward miracle. It's a just as great a miracle as raising somebody from the dead, delivering from the demon, or whatever, you know. And the way that I'm changing inside, I feel like, you know, when Pablo was talking about, you know, witnessing to the prostitute or whatever, you know, I'm feeling like those are the people that really are looking for truth, you know. They're not the ones that are following the church guys or the doctrines, or they want to get on TV and collect a whole bunch of money and, you know, give to Tim Jodwine Ministries, you know, because Tim Jodwine's a great guy for God and all that. You know, I never want to hear that. I think that's poisonous. It's terrible. It's real, real toxic, and I don't want any part of that mentality or that spirit. But I do want to feed people if they're hungry and if they really do want God and they really do want the Spirit and they really do want to know. You know, there's a lot of people in the world turn that stuff on and they feel the same way as we do. They go, wow, what a bunch of phonies, and they're actually getting rich off it. Wow, that's just disgusting, you know, which it is. But, you know, those are the people that are really seeking in their hearts to, you know, to have something more, to have a relationship. They feel the Spirit of our Father that's drawing them. And it's not drawing them to the TV and the rich guys and the money and the scams and all the dumb stuff, you know. It's actually drawing them to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to be a part of, you know. I don't know. I can just feel it in my heart. I was talking to my neighbor this last week. That's kind of the thing got me going down to Jobs Plus. And all I was doing was sitting there talking to him. And I was kind of complaining a little bit about not being able to find work and where should I go and do you know anybody and et cetera, you know. And he said, hey, our buddy, our neighbor, Mark, he just got himself a job at Mileto's, which is less than a mile away from where we live. You know, it's over by the airport. And it's only $9 an hour, but it's an 8-hour a day, 40-hour a week job. And they need people, and they're expanding their, you know, they're putting on another shift and so on and so forth. And he goes, yeah, I got it through Jobs Plus, you know. And so that's when I made the decision, well, I'll take a bike ride down there and, you know, see what they got. And that's all we were doing. I mean, I was complaining, and he was, you know, responding. That's all it was, you know. It wasn't a, you know, here's a job, Tim, kaboom, you know, you make $100,000 a year, you know, big miracle like that. It was just a guy complaining to another guy and another guy saying, well, get your butt down to Jobs Plus, you know. I don't have a car. We'll ride your bike, you know. So I did. And I did that. And like I said, when I came home, had some food. And, you know, the next couple of days went by and they gave me a call. And now I'm working. I start work Monday night from 4 to 12:30, I think it is. I'm on the second shift. I told them I'd prefer the first shift, but she goes, there's no positions open. I go, okay, I'll take the second shift, you know. And she goes, well, okay, you can stay on that until we can get you on the first shift. How about that? And I said, that's great. And she goes, well, okay, you'll probably have to be on second shift for like 2 or 3 weeks, but, you know, don't worry about it. We'll eventually get to you. And which I'm not worried about, you know. All I care about is having a job and paying my rent. You know, but what I'm saying is that out of these humble things, you know, a miracle is happening, and there's the formation of a man of God who is actually beginning to trust God. He's showing me that my trust is in Him. I can hear the natural voices, and when my gut gets hungry, it rumbles. You know, I'm a normal guy, but deep down in my heart, I'm not worried about it. It doesn't shake me up anymore. It just doesn't. I'm different. I can't explain it any more than that. You know, it's a spiritual thing that happened to me. I'm being changed and transformed, and I want it to continue. I hear a lot of these things in the Word of God. You know, you guys get up and testify about stuff, and I hear the Word of God every day, and I, you know, I'm hearing the miracles and stuff. And to me, the biggest things that are happening are not the raising of the dead and the casting out of the demons and the healings and all that stuff, but it's the stuff that's going on. It's how people are changing inside. It's how they're growing and becoming more. And it's how, you know, the story of the Gospels isn't just about other humans growing and becoming, but it's about Jesus too. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He grew in stature and in grace with God and man. He grew in favor. He became more, and he was becoming more and more. And he's showing us how we can become more and more as sons of God, you know? And like, when I'm hearing all this stuff and I'm being flooded with these feelings of goodness and I'm looking forward to the future, you know, my cloak of humility, I'm like, it's just, it's amazing. And I'm thinking, this is the way I want to be. You know, this is really what I want to do. Because it's so weird. It really is. It's just weird for me to be in. I never thought I'd be like this. I really didn't. I never thought that I would be changed so much that, you know, that I wouldn't worry about stuff that I always used to worry about in my whole life, you know. But it's happening. And it's happening because I'm listening. And it's happening because you're listening. We're listening together and we're allowing God to do these things. And that's precious, man. That is so wonderful. That is a great miracle. And I'm here to tell you that it's just as much of a miracle as a physical healing or a raising of the dead or whatever else you want to throw out there. I would rather do this than part the Red Sea personally, you know.
Yeah, that's good. The thought occurred to me when Tim was testifying. You know, nowadays, people wear kind of worn out, holy, torn clothes, and they look kind of cool, you know, or that's intended to be that. Well, back in the time of the Bible, you wore that stuff because you were poor, you were humble. And I want to join Tim in putting on a real, not a fake, the way they do these days, but a real cloak of humility. Yes. And I want to invite you to join me in doing that. I'll kind of pray and ask that you too put on that cloak. Lord, robe us with that cloak of humility. If there is something in us that objects to that, no. I kind of like being, I like the place I'm in, which is above some people. You know, if we feel that way, Lord, I ask that you just evaporate that thing, melt that thing away. And so that the, status, all that stuff just doesn't make any difference. If it's low, then just fine. If it's high, well, yeah, whatever. But Lord, give us that cloak of humility. Give us that cloak of humility so we just aren't better than anybody else out there. Just, that's just not what we're about. They are God's children. We're, like Glenn was bringing, the family of God. Just family. Oh, yes, Lord, by your Spirit, do that good work in us, Lord. We thank you. We thank you that we are in a position to be able to hear that. An invitation to, from Tim to put on that cloak of humility. We thank you for that. The church has kind of taken a beating from this pulpit this morning, but but anyway, it's not characteristic of the church world today, so we thank you that that is the message that's being expressed. here, and Lord, that it would be a real thing, that it wouldn't be, oh yeah, that would be a good idea to do that, I know I'm supposed to do that, so yeah, I'll go ahead and do that. No, that no, that it wouldn't be that, it would be a real thing. And for it to be real, oh, the heart is deceitfully wicked, who can know it? If it's going to be real, it's got to be a work of your spirit, not of our whatever. So Lord, we ask, oh Jesus, that you would do that work, oh Lord, that we would in fact have the cloak of humility, that we would in fact be humble, and that the prostitute that Pablo is talking about ministering to, oh Lord, that she would sense that. There wouldn't be any kind of looking down or of all that, oh yeah, isn't he nice for, none of that stuff. None of that stuff. Boy, those things get in the way of ministering. So, Lord, we ask, oh Jesus, that you would make us tools in your hand to be able to minister your very nature. You were humble, Lord. You were so humble when you were walking on this earth. You were humble. And, Lord, that we would walk in those same steps, Lord. Walk in those same humble steps. Do that good work in us by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I like coming to my church because I like seeing angry Chileans on fire for God. You know, Keith started out by quoting scripture that pointed out, you know, just how slippery a slope this is by, there's a lot of people, a lot of things pulling at us to take us away from the truth, starting from Jesus' time forward. It's hard to find the truth. It's easy to find something else. We spent a little time talking about, is it good or bad to be desperate, you know, and that got my mind thinking to the trials and travails of David. I don't know anybody who's more desperate than David. I mean, that dude had it stacked against him. I mean, and he shouldn't have. But, you know, the world was out to get him. And, you know, he'd find himself in a bad, dark spot and just plead with God. God heard his prayer. I don't know. You know, I agree. I think the safer, surer way to God's heart is to be humble. Just to be humble. Yet, you know, you see these big things and people get excited about stuff and you kind of go, you know, is that bad? Well, can be. I mean, Jesus used miracles to get the natural minded attention. He kind of came back at him, too. He said, you know, you're showing up for food. You're not here to find out about God. But he still used a big sign. So, before we get overly negative and casting negativity towards these things we see on TV, leave it open that God is finding a person in that large group with bad things or things that could be used in a bad way, meaning self-righteousness and lack of humility and lack of finding the truth. But I put nothing past God, because if there's one soul he's going to get through something that's not really right, he still wants that one soul. Now, don't take that for me to be rebuking anything or trying to create dissension this morning. I'm just asking us to remember that we don't know everything that God does or why. And Keith has talked about his own personal testimony about how God gave him a healing ministry. And then how easy it was for the natural to get in there and mess that up. And I think about our church and everything that's happened in our church. We've had the signs. You know, but I think all of that was to set us up to get to the point where our heart would be open to hear the Word of God. The true Word of God. This thing keeps playing in my head week after week. It's he who has ears to hear. You know, what does that mean? I mean, first time I came across that, I said, what does that mean? You know, that's foolishness in the middle of the week. What does that mean? And you go, and then you kind of start thinking on that, and then you dwell on it, and then you let the Spirit come in. You know, and after a long time you go, yep, what does that mean? I still don't know. Although I have gotten a little bit of insight to just say that what it means is if you are open to what God is doing, you can hear the truth of the Word of God. And, the way is simple, but the road is narrow. I mean, it's like just like this. It's like this. So there's a whole bunch of ways, but it's just like this. And how do you stay just like this? You almost have to forget everything you know and everything you think. And you just go, I don't know, God, keep me right here. Because if it's me, I'm going to be everywhere but where I want to be. Which I think is where Keith started out this morning. There are so many ways to go wrong and only one way to go right. And the more we know about that one way to go right, we go, yep, I got to stop thinking. I got to stop doing this. I've got to be just doing this. And I've got to do it with a heart that says, you know, I don't know it. I don't got it. Scripture's pretty clear. You start out thinking you've got it, you're in trouble. Right. You really put yourself in a bad spot. You come at it with, boy, I'd like to know more. I really hope God opens something up to me today. Well, I think you put yourself in a much better place. And I, too, have said, I would much rather do something that's a blessing in total anonymity than want to let people see that I'm doing something good. That is not my heart. You know why? Because I'm not strong enough not to fall to self-pride or self-righteousness. I'm not there yet. I don't want anybody thinking I'm doing anything good. Because I can't handle that. I'm not. I'd like to think someday I could. I'd like to be able to remain humble with good things or things that come from something I do or say, but I would much rather do it with God on me and the world's darkness than try and do it with the world's light on me. Much higher calling. Much harder.
I don't think any of us thought he's strong enough.
Well, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. But I think the heart of wanting to help those who need help is what we all want. Yeah. It's what I want. So, just, I don't know. All I know for sure is that I just am not smart enough to figure out how God is going to do what he's going to do. And someone said, and we're really coming hard on church today. And I don't know. There are really a lot of wonderful people in church every Sunday. I'm glad that we don't have the circus here. I'm glad that when we come together, we want to talk about what God's doing in our life and not what we think you should be doing so God comes in your life. And that's the difference between going to a church or having God come into your heart. And we talk about what God's doing in our lives. that is, as it was mentioned, that is the miracle. Might not be as grandiose as moving a mountain. Not to say that God won't do that. He won't do that with one of us, all of us. But the point is not moving the mountain. The point is being open to do what God wants you to do. If I can get in His will, I can get on His train, He's going to meet me. So, if I have to get to the point where I'm like David, crying out in a cave, where I don't have anything that I'd like to have, glory. Because it means my heart is right for God. And He is not going to forsake me.
That's scripture in 1 Peter, where Peter says, we're being born again, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible. And I love the testimonies and the things that I keep hearing in this church. And he said, we're not born again by corruptible seed. Remember the scripture I read that Paul said, he said, we are not of those who corrupt the word of God. We don't corrupt it. We don't change it. Well, anyway, that scripture says, being born again, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the word of God. Does it matter? Does it matter whether you develop a sincere hunger and desire for the truth or you don't? Does it matter? Do you know what we hear in, and I mean, this is a judgment, and fortunately it's just us sitting here, so we get away with a little bit more, but in church after church today, right at this time, people are hearing corruptible seed. And Glenn got up and he supported, the scripture setting that we have up here on the wall. But you know what? The entire Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, all support this scripture verse. And does it matter whether we believe this or not? Well, let me tell you something. If we have an image in our head of a God-man or a God-son, God the Son, if we have that image inside of us, we can't grow into the image of Christ, who is a man. We're trying to grow into a false image. Are you understanding me? How important is it that we grow into Christ? That's the scripture. We are supposed to grow up into Him. And if we have a wrong image, we can't do it. It doesn't work. Well, anyway, the point is, being born again, not by corruptible seed. So here we are. We're sitting here. We're a handful of people. And so out of the scope, here I am from hand to hand, all 5'7" or whatever it is, and you look at this distance, okay? And then you look at this distance, sitting here, between my fingers, and then you look at this distance, and then you look right here. You can't see between. That's how we fit into the scope of what's going on in church circles today. Few there be that find it. Do you know why there's few there be that find it? Because there's only a few there be that's looking for it. If you are confident and comfortable and determined, sure that what you believe is the truth, you won't look, you won't open yourself up to find something else. So how important is it that we take in just the word. And there's another part of this thing. It kind of been alluded to this morning a little bit, but it requires the Holy Spirit. I was talking to somebody this last week. I remember somebody, but I said, no matter what, how much you read the Bible, how much you hear the Bible, it requires the Holy Spirit to make sense out of it. The natural mind will not do it. You cannot understand this thing. The things of God are foolishness to the natural man. You can't understand it naturally. It does not make any sense. You know what? I'm glad of that. Come on up.
One other thing that God is doing in me, and I don't want to say, I know, I'm so great or nothing, but I'm being honest. There is nothing with a voice that interests me besides God's word. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not making this up. I have no idea. I know Trump is president. That's as far as I go. Kenny and I was, let's watch something on TV. Okay. There's nothing to watch. It's like, and if we just watch commercials, I don't know, we sit there and we fall asleep. It's like God is, we have no eye. I shouldn't speak for we, but, and there's not even, I used to like any music, I don't like any music. I listen to the scriptures at work, you know, and I work a few hours a day or whatever. And my truck is broke. It's a disaster. So I don't even, I, there's not even a nothing in the radio. Nothing. Anyway, so that's different. You know, and then I realized that Jesus said, let these words sink down into your ears. There's no room for nothing. I don't think, everything is bouncing out. I don't know what's happening. But anyways, I'm trying to be humble saying this, and really I'm trying to be humble. I'm not saying that I'm anything, or I have achieved anything, or I have gone anywhere. I'm just testifying of what God's word does. And it's what it does. It's just all of a sudden it's like all these outside things bounce right out, and there's literally no interest. There's no interest. The news, it's just awesome not to watch the news. I have no idea what's going on. I have no idea. Nothing. And I was telling Dominic the other day, I said, Dominic, you know, if you want to be happy, you know, what you really need is God. The God will fill all your happiness or your joy. And I used to hear that years ago. There's no way. I mean, man, there's all these other things that are so much fun and that you want. But you know what? God truly gives you joy. Because all of a sudden, things that used to matter don't matter. And you know what? I have no words for anything that I try to say. I have no idea. God's word, that's an amazing word to even to your flesh of what goes into your ears. You're not interested. I don't know. I think I'm babbling.
Glory.
I don't have Pablo's testimony there, but hey, catch me a year from now. Maybe that'll be my testimony. I sure hope it would be. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Not to have a keen interest in all the stuff out there. That would really be great. Corky had referred here earlier to, you know, who knows what kind of work is going on in churches that, you know, where we can be critical. Hey, if God is somehow using that, then, hey, you know. And it brought to mind, Pablo, God bless you. for the tape, I was grabbing around for my glasses, and Pablo figured out what was up. I had left him in my pew. Anyway, there's a portion of Scripture in Philippians that has always kind of puzzled me. I haven't felt comfortable with it. And let me read it to you. Mm-hmm. This is out of the NIV. Anyway, it's 1 Corinthians, it's Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. It said, "It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice." And I don't know if you've had trouble with that portion of Scripture, but I thought, how could that be effective? How can it be effective if you're preaching Christ out of those kind of false motives, you know? But, hey, it's here. It's here. You know? It's here. So.
How many of us have been edified by the Spirit of God listening to people that have been preaching the gospel for their own gain? I have. I've listened to guys that have been preaching, you know, for their own gain and their own glorification. And because they were preaching the Word of God in return void. Because I had a hungry heart, He fed me. That's His grace. That's, to me, it's not a mystery. I've never had a problem with that verse at all. I understand it perfectly, you know, because actually, to tell you the truth, I've done the same thing. You know, I've wanted to be a Christian to other people. I've wanted to witness to people, and how many times have my motives not been right? I don't want to glorify God or anything. I wanted people to look at me as a great evangelist, and wow, what a great guy Tim is. He brought people to church and did this and that, you know. And in spite of that stuff, the Spirit of God still blessed people. We got plenty of scriptural examples of that. I mean, look at Caiaphas. Caiaphas was an evil man, and God made him prophesy. It's best that one man, you know, die for the sake of the nation, and that the nation perish not, you know. I mean, He tells you right in the Scripture. Caiaphas was not a good guy, and he wasn't praying to be a prophet. But God used him anyway. You know, that's the story of the gospel. And I don't know how many, I don't know. I hate to say look at yourselves, you know, because it feels like I'm accusing. But, you know, really, if you look in your heart, you know, you haven't been all good and pure yourself, you know, when you've been trying to speak, you know, the Word of God. But the Lord has seen something deep down in your heart. And, you know, that's one thing about the Spirit. The Spirit, and in the Spirit, there, He doesn't, when He looks at you, this is what I think, okay, theory time or whatever. When He's looking at us, when He looks at you, He doesn't look at you the way you are now. He doesn't look at this person that's falling apart, you know, physically and has all these problems and is incomplete in his soul and doesn't know what's going on and is totally inept in everything they try to do. He doesn't see that. He sees the finished product. He sees the end from the beginning. He sees what you're going to become. And He sees the glory that you're going to bring to Him. and the joy that you're going to bring to his heart. That's what he sees. Kind of like going back to one of Pablo's testimonies maybe a year ago or last summer, you know, when they were preparing for, you know, the baby, and he wasn't born yet, but they were treating him like he'd already been born. They made a room for him and, you know, like that. I mean, they were acting like he was already there. Well, that's in the spirit realm. That's how the Lord is acting with you. Because he's looking at you as the finished product. And he's saying, look at this beautiful thing. I love you. I love you. I'm going to shower you with all this knowledge and goodness. And I'm going to help you get there, you know. And don't worry about it, you know. I mean, he loves you because he sees the end. And that's because he sees the spirit. And that's a real important. I mean, it's hard to separate the spirit and the natural and within ourselves, all right. But we have to realize that, you know, he's already done that. He's already separated that, and he sees the end from the beginning. He sees you at the end where you're rejoicing before the throne. You know, you're perfected. You're bringing joy to his heart. You're nothing but pure and good and wonderful and just a beautiful creation, you know. That's what he sees when he looks at you. That's what is going on in his heart. And you need to believe in that. You need to believe in that, and you need to have faith in that and trust in that. I feel him looking at me that way, you know, a lot of times when I'm listening to this, the Word of God, and I happen to be in the Spirit. And it just brings tears to my eyes. Because for one thing, I know I have to go back to the natural, and, you know, and I got to do the natural stuff, you know. And I don't feel like leaving the Spirit. Once I get there, I don't want to leave. Because it's so nice. It's so much better than here. But I realize that I have to. But I take with me the faith in my heart. I believe that he sees me, what I have become. You know, one more. We were praying for Brittany's husband this summer, I think it was. And you know, at the time I couldn't even remember his name. You know, and it was after a Sunday night Bible study thing, and he was just there and he needed prayer. You know, and so we all went up, and then Shelley was here, and we all gathered around and prayed for him. You know, and I just felt the Spirit on me. You know, and so I yielded to it. And I started weeping for this guy that I didn't even remember his name. And I didn't know what his problem was. I'd probably seen him around, you know, maybe I talked to him, I don't know. But none of that mattered. When I yielded my spirit to the Spirit of God, I could feel intercession. And I could feel a longing, a love, a deep thing for this man that I didn't even remember his name. You know, that's how the Spirit works. And if you open yourself to the Spirit, you don't have to worry about, you know, like right now. I mean, I almost hate that phrase, you know, right now. I catch myself saying it a lot. Like, right now, I don't have a heart for a lot of people, you know. I don't care what happens to my neighbor, you know. Well, I don't in the natural. I really don't. But in the Spirit, you know, my Father is not willing that any should perish. And I'm not willing either. You know, I'm with him. And so if he, you know, anoints me to pray for people and minister to him or whatever, I'm confident that he's going to get through what he wants to get through. And I can be the expression of that in this realm. And so I don't need to work up feelings. I don't need to talk myself into caring for people or changing my heart or any of that, you know. That's his job. And he does a very good job of that. And he can do it right on the spot, right like that. You know, I wasn't expecting to pray for anybody when we prayed for Brittany's husband this summer. I was expecting, you know, to go home and get some sleep and go to work the next day. It wasn't a big deal. But when he came up and he asked for prayer, that's all I had to do was just say yes to the Spirit. And I reached out my hand and I touched him and I started. I mean, it wasn't even 10 seconds, and there was tears coming down my face for this guy that I couldn't. And I was praying in tongues. It was just pouring out of me. And I could feel the Spirit, and I could feel God's love for him. I could feel my love for him, because God put his love in my heart for him. That's how he works. That's how the Spirit works. So, you know, the natural is not a big deal. It really isn't. All you got to do is just put that aside and just yield to the Spirit and open your heart, and he'll do the rest.
I agree with what Tim just brought. I'll say something similar, maybe in fewer words. In response to the scripture that Charlie wrote, or read, excuse me, what came to me out of that was that, isn't it good to know that in spite of our heart, God will bless you? And if God had to wait for people with perfect hearts in order to do his work, we'd all be waiting. So what I got out of that scripture setting was that, and we said in others, God will honor a request even though the requester is not perfect before the Lord. Sometimes because God sees where they're going to be, sometimes because God's going to honor his name regardless. So I've always been encouraged that good things can happen from imperfect vessels if they're really doing God's will.
I just want to make one along the line of what something I've said about three or four times today, I think, since I got up here. But Peter again said, being born again, not by corruptible seed. And from my exposure to the Word of God, from what I've seen and what I've read, it does not appear that it's possible to be changed from glory to glory by corruptible seed. It doesn't look to me like it's possible. So what happens is, if you're in an environment where the seed is corrupted, remember what I read in 2 Corinthians where Paul said, we are not of those who corrupt the Word of God. Well, if you corrupt the Word and change it, and that's what you hear. Okay, you hear a scripture or you hear a teaching contrary to this. This is a vital scripture. What this is, this is one of the plain scriptures that give us the picture and understanding of the Godhead. My thinking, as I read, as I saw that, and as I still see it, to me, Timothy said, Paul, give me the best, I mean, this didn't really happen probably, but give me the best possible revealing or revelation or wording or something of the Godhead. The best possible wording for me. You know what that is? This is vital to eternal life. I tell you, the title of the message that I'm going to bring tonight is called Death, Burial, and Resurrection. And the reason being that we are baptized into the death and the burial and the resurrection of a man. Does it matter? And does it matter if we use a formula that did not exist in the scriptures anywhere versus using and understanding why we do this? It says, as we are baptized into his name, we are buried with him through baptism. Does it matter? See, that is an incorruptible word. That's what I want. And God has allowed us to get into a place where we're starting to get this. Well, you know what the incorruptible word is doing? It's transforming, Pablo. It's transforming Tim. It's transforming, Glenn. It's transforming us. I told Joanne, sometimes after the Bible study or the message on Sunday nights, and we sit and talk, and it'll be whoever's there, you know, the three or four or five people. And I said, one of the most important times of the whole week for me is that time that's not even taped. I hear things coming out of you guys. And I go home, and I'm in tears. I tell Joanne, I said, you know what I just heard? I just got an update. I'm not supposed to know these things. I just got an update. The Bible says the kingdom of God comes without observation. I just got in on it. Something I'm not even supposedly allowed to observe. I just saw it. Here's what the kingdom of God is going to be. This is what's developing. This is what's happening to us. I want to tell you something. I'm shaking. My legs are just are shaking right now. I'm talking about it. I am seeing something that I never ever thought I would ever see. I never ever expected to hear testimonies of things like I just heard out of Pablo this morning, or last week, or out of Tim this morning, Corky and Glenn and all of us. You know what I mean? And you know what? It's happening in Charlotte and Bonnie. There's a change taking place. You know why? The pure Word of God will do that. And when it says we are being changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of God, you can't do it unless the Spirit takes the sword, which is the Word of God, and does it. But what I hear on Sunday nights sometimes is exactly what I need to hear, even if nobody else heard what I heard. And I think, only God can do what I just heard. Man don't do that. But we think he can. So we go in and we hear these great guys. And like Tim said, maybe something good came out of it somewhere. But and I'm, some of the things that I heard by people that probably, who knows what, I'm sure they had a good effect. But nothing has ever had the effect that this word is having on me. I've never experienced anything like it. Anyway, let's come up to the front. You can pray for my voice. When things start to get like they are, and that I'm excited, and I know that... I'll tell you what. When I came back from Seattle, I came because of a dream I had. And in the dream, an angel appeared with his hand in the air. Big guy. And... anyway, and he said, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And you know what I'd like to say right now? The Lord is coming. And it might not be today, but it might. It might not be for a couple of years. But who knows? It's coming. He's coming. Anyways, God bless you.